And that's found in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 10. So if you have a Bible, Luke 10, and it's verse number 30. If you don't have a Bible, you want to just sit and listen, there is absolutely no problem with that at all. Luke 10 and verse number 30. Luke 10, 30. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. It said, "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and this man, well, he fell among thieves. And these thieves, they stripped this man of his raiment, they wounded him, and they departed, leaving him half dead, almost on the point of death. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when the priest saw him," that was the man who lay there wounded and half dead, it says this, "he passed by on the other side." So he saw him, and yet still he passed by on the other side. And then verse 32 says, "And likewise a Levite, when he came to the place, he came and he looked at him, and he too, he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was," that is this individual, "and when he saw him, he had compassion upon him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds. And he poured in oil and wine," that was medicinal purposes, "and he set him upon his own beast, and he brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host," that was the individual who owned this inn, "and he said to him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." And we do look to God now just to bless the reading of his word to our hearts tonight. I wonder if you were to pause just for a moment and think, have you ever been the object of a good Samaritan's help? In other words, have you ever been helped by someone? Perhaps you couldn't do something in the house or something to the car. Sometimes ladies, you see them, sometimes they break down beside the side of the road and they're unable to, perhaps, to get the wheel off, and they're in need of someone drawing alongside, as it were, and helping out. I wonder, have you ever been the object of the help of a good Samaritan? Perhaps you can think of instances in your own life, in your house or in your work, when you have been the object of such kindness. Or perhaps, can you think of an occasion when you yourself have been the good Samaritan, and when perhaps you went out of your way to help someone who was in need of help? Well, what we're going to discover is that every one of us tonight, we need help. And from this story of the good Samaritan, we're going to understand that we need help because of our sin. And the wonderful message of the gospel tonight is simply this, that God wants to help every one of us. It doesn't matter whether you come from Dreadcorn, or Newcomnock, or Ochiltree, or the surrounding area. The wonderful, beautiful message of the gospel is simply this, that God cares, and God wants to help every one of us. You know, there was an article in the BBC website a short time ago, and it asked this very question, is there such a thing today as a good Samaritan? And they asked the question, and they went out of their way to try and prove in today's society, is there something today called a good Samaritan? We know in years gone by, we used to be able to leave the locks in their doors, and the neighbours could just open the door and come in and have conversation. We can't do that nowadays. And the question that they wanted to ask in today's society, where there is so much crime and everything else, is it possible still to have something called a good Samaritan? And they conducted this survey. It was a young female reporter, and they were down in an English village, and they set out 3 small experiments to prove if there was indeed still something today called the good Samaritan. And this girl, one of the day called the Good Samaritan. And this girl, one of the first things that she did was she was walking down the busy high street of this little town, and she had a bundle of pamphlets, maybe so much so deep in her arm, and they were all loose. And as she carried them, she deliberately released them into the street. And as you can imagine, all these papers were fluttering all over the place, and she began to pick down and pick them one up at a time. And the question was this, would any of the people who were passing by, would they stop? Would they bend down? Would they help her gather all this up? I wonder what you'd have done. I would have probably helped, to be honest. I probably would have helped. And yet there was not one person who stopped to help her pick up any of the leaflets that she deliberately had dropped to ask or ascertain the question, is there today something called a good Samaritan? So there was 2 of these reporters who were slightly disheartened that the answer to the question appeared to be no. And so they had another small trial. And this time the girl was getting a large board, advertising board, out of the back of her boot as she was trying to take this large, cumbersome object into a store. And it was so big, so cumbersome that she obviously couldn't hold it, and she was staggering. And again, she wanted to prove that someone was going to stop and help her get this large billboard into the shop. One person stopped. One person helped her. So that certainly relieved her a little bit to say, well, perhaps there is something called a Good Samaritan today, because one person was willing to stop and help out. So they thought, well, we'll do one ultimate test here. We'll make it a little bit more serious. And what they did was, because there was two of them, the young man, the other reporter, he was going to simulate, as it were, somebody taking an epileptic fit right in the town centre. And so right in the town centre, this young man fell down and was imitating someone taking an epileptic fit. Now, we know that epilepsy can lead to, if it's not treated, death from that point of view. So it was a serious circumstance in which they were trying to simulate. And they watched as people went by left and right. How many people do you think stopped to help someone in desperate need, possibly in the point of death? The answer was this: not one person stopped. Not one person stopped. I don't know if you would have stopped or not, but what they did was they were so flabbergasted that not one person was willing to be a Good Samaritan that they went after one or two of the individuals who had just blatantly walked by. And they stopped them and they said, sorry, we're doing a report here. And they told them what they were trying to do, and they asked the question, you obviously saw the individual who was taking their place. But can I ask you, why didn't you stop and help? The answer were these: I was on my lunch break. I was too busy. Another individual said, I just didn't want to get involved. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. So these were individuals who saw the circumstance, who saw somebody in need of help, and yet deep down there was no compassion. They were unwilling to help. So the question is there such a thing today as a Good Samaritan? I would like to think there is. But that survey sadly would appear to reflect the opposite. That in today's society there are so few of us who are willing perhaps to go out of our way and to help someone in need. Well, I want to tell you tonight that from the Bible, from the Word of God, that as we'll discover that there was an individual who was in desperate need of help. And fortunately, that individual received the help of a man called the Good Samaritan. And that's true as we present the gospel here in New Cumberland tonight as well. It is very true that every one of us, and I'm no different from you as you sit in the seat tonight, every one of us are in need of help. And what we're here to tell you is that there is a person called Jesus Christ. And he is, for all intents and purposes, the Good Samaritan. And he is desperately wanting to help every one of us tonight with the problem of our sin, with the problem of getting into heaven. And it is only the Lord Jesus Christ who is the one who is willing to help every one of us. Now, when we turn and we think of this passage before us tonight, and we think of this thing called this parable of the Good Samaritan, what we'll understand is that as we begin this story, we discover that the first thing we need in this story is this: it's an individual in need of help, an individual perhaps unable to help themselves. Now, as we read that story, even the young boys tonight will understand who the individual was in the story that needed the help. As we read down that story, we discovered there was a man. And what does it say in verse number 30? It says, this man, he was on a journey from Jerusalem to Jericho. It says this: he fell among thieves. Listen to what it says about him. It says, now they strip him. They take every inch of clothing he had off his body. They strip him of his raiment. They wound him. That is this: they beat him and they beat him and they beat him. Until it says this, that they left him, leaving him half dead. Here was an individual. If you were to go sometimes on a Saturday night into the city centres of Glasgow, you would see this individual. A man who's perhaps fallen worse of the wares of drink, perhaps been set about by youths who have punched him and slashed him and kicked him, until this is an individual, he is on the point of death. He is on the point of death. This is the individual in the story tonight who is in desperate need of help. You know, perhaps this man needed help in his life. We all need help in life. Whether it's to put a new bulb in a light fitting, or perhaps to get onto the roof, or perhaps to help with the car. Every one of us needs help in life. And I'm sure this man in his life would have needed help of some sort or another. But the time this man needed help most was when was in this journey. A journey he thought he would never have found himself in, wounded, stripped, and left half dead. And yet, you know something? That man, for all intents and purposes, is just a picture of, he's a picture of me. That man, he is a picture of you. Because we too tonight are in need. We're in need because of something called sin. You see, the Bible makes it very, very clear. It says this: for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death has passed upon all, for all have sinned. And that is the desperate consequences that we find ourselves in tonight, in desperate need of help because of sin. Now, you don't need help because of my sin, and I don't need help because of your sin, but it is sin that is personal to every single one of us tonight. And we all need help because of the fact the Bible says, for all have sinned, for all have come short of the glory of God. You see, there is a consequence to being a sinner. You know, the Bible makes it very clear, for all have sinned. We're not up here saying for one minute that everyone down there is a sinner. I am absolutely no different from you. You're absolutely no different from me in this respect. We all have sin. Now, I'm sure that even the youngest in the room tonight knows what sin is. Yesterday afternoon, we went through to Muffet, and there was a wee boy who was 3 years old. I don't know what Joseph is. What's Joseph? Three. Well, same age. And we were through at Muffet yesterday, and we're in a wee coffee room. And there's a wee boy called Brandon, and Brandon was there, and he was on a stool, and he was eating something. And I just went over to Brandon, and I said to Brandon, what are you eating, Brandon? And the wee hand went down with this thing in his mouth, and he just went like that. I said, what are you eating? I wasn't being nasty. And it went down and down and down, and he put it in below the chair, in below the table. I said, what are you eating? And I picked up the wee bit of paper that was still there, and it was sugar. What he'd done was, obviously, we were in a coffee shop, so he picked up the wee sugar sachet, and he was eating the sugar. That's all he was doing. But he knew fine well that he shouldn't have been eating the sugar, because obviously we know what it does, it rots your teeth. And this wee boy of 3 knew fine well that what he was doing was wrong, in terms of he shouldn't have been eating it because it was bad for his teeth. And of course, whenever I asked him that question, he knew that, and straight away, the sugar was getting lower and lower down so that I couldn't see it. Now, we all know what sin is. It affects every one of us. Our conscience tells us when we've done something that's wrong. Sometimes we're ashamed. Sometimes we're embarrassed. Sometimes we never wish we'd said that thing or done that thing or thought that thing. And so we're all well aware of what sin is. And even a boy of 3 knew yesterday what doing wrong was. And you see, there is a consequence to us being sinners. And you say, what is that consequence? Well, the consequence is this, that the Bible says that not that defileth shall enter in. And you ask the question, enter in where? That is a place called heaven. You know, we firmly do believe in a place called heaven as much as we do firmly believe in a place called hell. Both are real places. And the Bible makes it very clear that hell is a prepared place for Satan and his angels. And that is very true. But we must be aware that if we do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we do not have our sins forgiven, which is very possible tonight, the consequences of not accepting this message and not accepting the Lord Jesus Christ is this: we're unfit for God's presence. Now, that is something that is solemn tonight. I don't make apologies for bringing that to us, because we need to be honest with you tonight. The last thing we want you to do is go out tonight and go into eternity and to say, that speaker never told me about hell. He never made it clear to me tonight that because of my sin, that's where I would be. And that's why tonight it's with love, with kindness, with compassion, that we tell every one of us tonight, we've all got sin, we've all come short of God's standard, and the consequence of that is this: we're not fit for the presence of God. We all have standards in life. My car failed its MOT this year. It didn't meet the Ministry of Transport standard. And because of that, there's a consequence. The consequence was this: I needed help. I needed to get my car fixed. And that's exactly true when it comes to the story of the Good Samaritan. Before we can understand that we need a Good Samaritan, we need to understand we need help. We need to be fixed. We need to be repaired, as it were, like my car. And the only person who can help us, fix us, repair us, is our Creator, the one who made us. And of course, that is the person of the Lord Jesus. And so in the story of the Good Samaritan, the first thing that we realise is this. There's a man in desperate need of help. Desperate need of help. And that's true about every one of us tonight. We also need the help of the Lord Jesus because of this great problem that we have, the problem of sin. But you know, the second thing that we notice in the story of the Good Samaritan is this. We notice that there was actually someone who was willing to help. As we read in that story, we came first of all to two individuals. You notice, were they willing to help? Well, the answer to that is obviously no. We notice there was the priest and there was the Levite. And as they came towards this gentleman and as they looked upon him, it says this, that they, both of them, they passed by on the other side. But there was a good Samaritan. It says this in verse number 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was, and when he saw him, it says this, he had compassion upon him. In this story tonight, there was only one person, and one person alone, who was willing to help. And that was this individual called the Good Samaritan. And you know, when it comes to the gospel tonight, friend, we also need to tell you very clearly, we would love everyone in this hall tonight to be in heaven. We would love everyone in this hall tonight to know the joy of their sins forgiven. We would love everyone in this hall tonight to experience the relationship that we can have with a heavenly Father, God Himself, and to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We would want that. But the reality is this, that we need to tell you that whilst we want that, there is only one person who can, in effect, help us. And that is the person of the Lord Jesus. We are here to tell you about Him. It is only the Lord Jesus and He alone who can help us, repair us, fix us, as it were. The boys will know if my car breaks down, who do I need to take my car to get it fixed by? Of course, it's a mechanic. If I have a problem with my heart, who do I go to get my heart fixed? Of course, it's the doctor. If I have a problem with my teeth, who do I need to get help from? Of course, it's a dentist. And when it comes to the problem of sin, who do I need to go to get the problem of sin dealt with, fixed? It, of course, is the person of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says in His Gospel, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. No man can get into heaven but by Me. And so what we discover is this, that the only person who is willing to help us with the problem of our sin and of getting into heaven and of escaping the consequences of hell is the Lord Jesus, because He is the Son of God. He is the one who is the way into heaven. But you need to ask the question, why is the Lord Jesus willing to help me? I've done nothing for Him. I've thought nothing really about Him. I've taken no interest in His things or in His words. I hardly pray to God. So why would God want to have an interest, want to help me tonight? For the exact same reason as to why this good Samaritan helped this individual. It says this, when he saw him, he had compassion upon him. Why would the Lord Jesus, why would He be willing to help me, William Gaw, just an ordinary jewel blog from Dreghorn? For this simple fact, He loves me. He loves me. Now I think that's amazing to be able to say that tonight. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, the Creator of all things, He loves me. He loves William Gaw. You know, Paul in his Gospel says, he says this, the Son of God, He loved me, and He gave Himself for me. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to tell you here in Newcomlock tonight, that there are individuals within Newcomlock who are the affection, who are the object of the love of a Heavenly Father. We sometimes sing, I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see, but this is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. You know, you might have come in tonight perhaps feeling unloved. I want to tell you, you can never go out of the hall tonight feeling unloved. Because the reality is this, that God loves you And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loves you. And He loves you so much so that He was willing to die for you because of the problem of sin at Calvary. What a wonderful thing to be able to tell the people of Cumnock tonight. You Cumnock. For God so loved the world. For God so loved New Cumnock. For God so loved every single one of us in this hall tonight. That He wants us to be ready and fit for that place called heaven. So we see that the Lord Jesus is the one who is willing to help us. Why? Because He loves the sinner. Oh, He hates the sin. But praise God tonight, He loves the sinner and He loves me and He loves you tonight. But you know, one of the other things we discover in this little passage is this, that not only was there someone willing to help this man who was stripped, wounded and half dead, but we also understand that this man was not only willing to help, but he was actually able to help. You know, we discovered that there was two individuals who came alongside. Were they able to help? Were they willing to help? Well, it says this, that, you know, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, he came and he looked at him. And it says this, and he passed by on the other side. You know, it tells me this, friend, that there are many of us today who think that religion and good works is enough to help us with the problem of our sin. That's what these two individuals are really representing, or are pictures of. The priest is a picture of religion. In other words, people think today that by coming to church, by coming to gospel meetings, by reading your Bible, by praying, that is enough to help us, help me with the problem of my sin to allow me entrance into heaven. Or we look at the Levite, and the Levite is a picture of works. And some people think that by doing as many good works as I possibly can, doing works for charity, the local community, for family, for friends, if I do enough of these, when God weighs them up in the balances, the good will outweigh the bad. And yet when we turn to the Word of God, God says this, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. None of us will be in heaven because of the volume or the quantity or the quality of our works. We'll only be in heaven by the grace of God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we turn to this passage before us, we understand that there's only one person who was able to help. And it wasn't the priest, and it wasn't the Levite, but it was, of course, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you ask the question, why is it only the Lord Jesus who can help me with the problem of my sin? Why can't I go to a priest? Why can't I go to a minister? Why can't I go to a reverend? There are so many holy people today. Why is it the case that you always tell us about this person called Jesus? Why is He the only one who is able to help me? Simply because of this, He is the only one who is without sin. Without sin. What bars us from entrance into heaven is sin. The Lord Jesus is the one who is without sin. He is the sinless, spotless Son of God. That is why when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, He was given that name Jesus. Why? For He shall save His people from their sin. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ and He alone who is able and willing to save us. You know, you might be, for example, in a house on fire. And I might be outside and you might shout down to me, can you help me? Can you save me? And I would try everything I can, everything to the best of my ability, and I would say, I will try to save you. You don't want me to try to save you. You want me to be able to save you. And it is the Lord Jesus is not the one who will try to save you, but the Lord Jesus is the one who tonight He is able to save you. The Bible says this, He is both able and willing to save all them that come unto Him. And so, friend, the Lord Jesus is not just the best person to save you. He is the only person who is able and willing to save you. And so in this story of the Good Samaritan, we see how it was the Good Samaritan. He was the only person who was able to save. And so too, when we come to the gospel, the Lord Jesus is the only person who is able to save us from the problem of our sin, because he was the one who was sinless and willing and able to save us. But you notice in this Good Samaritan, it strikes me every time I read this, you know, that the Good Samaritan was the one who was actually willing to help, even at personal cost to himself. It amazes me to think of that. When you think of where this man who was wounded, stripped and half dead, where was he? He was on a journey from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And where do we find this Good Samaritan? In the exact same spot. I wonder if you came across an individual who just had been maltreated, wounded, beaten, would you put your own life at risk? Or would you think, it has just happened, the best thing for me is really to get out of here, because you know something, if I don't, this could happen to me? Now, when we turn to this parable of the Good Samaritan didn't flee for his own life. What did he do? He put his own life at risk. That's what he was doing here. He was putting his own life at risk to help another in need of help. But you know, when it came to the Lord Jesus didn't put his life at risk. The Lord Jesus gave his life. There's a vast difference between risking one's life and giving one's life. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave his life at that place called Calvary. Why? That the punishment for sin might be borne. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave his life that we might have life. Did we get that? The Lord Jesus gave his life that we might have life. The Lord could say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he says, I give unto my sheep eternal life. And so here is one who did not risk his life, but rather the Lord Jesus, the one who gave his life at the place called Calvary, that we might have life. You see, sin must and will be punished. If the boys break a rule, as it were, if they are disobedient in the household, I'm sure the Gillespie boys will know this as well, there is a punishment. It might be you're sent to your room, or you're not allowed out to play. It might be the case if you break a rule in school, again, there's a punishment. It might be lines. If we break a rule in society, again, it might be speeding. There is a fine. There is a penalty. We all know that if we break a rule, there is a consequence. And because of our sins, there is a consequence, and the consequence is punishment. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, he was willing to bear the punishment for sin upon his own body on the tree. He was willing to die. He was willing to allow men to take him and to crucify him, to put nails through his hands and through his feet, to allow men to take a crown of thorns and place it upon his head, to allow men to blindfold him and to buffet him with the palm of their hand so many times and so much that the Bible says his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. He allowed men to spit upon him, to malign him, to mock him, to curse him. Why? Because he was willing to bear the punishment for sin. He could have called more than 3 legions of angels to deliver him, and yet it says this, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He could have called to have been delivered, and yet he did not. Why? Because he knew that he had to give his life. He had to bear the punishment for sin, that you and I might escape the wrath of God. The Bible says that he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. And yet the Lord Jesus was willing to endure the wrath of Almighty God, the punishment of God, that you and I might never endure that if we but ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior. If we but ask the Lord Jesus Christ, like this man in this story, as he simply accepted the help that was offered by the Good Samaritan. And so we see that the Lord Jesus was the one who was willing to help, but even at personal cost himself, the cost of his life at that place called Calvary. But you know, the last thing in this little story we want to bring to your attention is this, that, you know, this help that was in offer, it would have been ineffective. It would have been of absolutely no use if that individual in this story, the man who was wounded, stripped and half dead, just didn't accept the help that was offered. Now, this man had done everything he could. He was willing to pour in oil and wine. He was willing to set him in his own beast. This individual was willing to be, this good Samaritan was willing to pour upon this man his compassion, his kindness, his help, his attention. All that gentleman had to do was simply accept it. He didn't have to ask for it. He didn't have to work for it. He didn't have to change. It was simply this. He simply accepted the help that was on offer. He didn't refuse it. And you know, when it comes to the gospel message tonight, we need to understand, just as we are trying to explain, we are like that man. We need help because of our sin. The Lord Jesus is the Good Samaritan. He's the one who's able to help us. He's the one who's willing to help us. He's the one who actually gave his life that he might help us. And all that we are asked to do tonight is to accept that help. To accept it. You say, well, what happens when we accept this help that's on offer? Well, the Bible says this, that we receive a free gift. We receive the free gift of God, which is everlasting life through Jesus Christ. We receive the forgiveness of sin. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. We need to be forgiven of our sin. That is true. But we also escape the consequences of hell. The Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so these are all the good things that we can receive as a result of simply accepting the help of the Lord Jesus. But you ask the question, how do we accept that help? Well, the Bible says this. It says, believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we can be saved. It simply means this, putting our trust in him. You know, we were over in Turkey there, and one of the things that we had was called the leap of faith. And it was simply this, that there was like a totem pole 50 feet high that you had to climb up. And I must say, I wasn't too sure about doing it myself, but Jonathan did it, and then Krista went up and he did it, so therefore I had to do it. Just to surely, because I wasn't a big fearty, which I really was. But anyway, the youngest one was only 9, Christopher, and he went up to the top, and it's 50 feet high, and when you get to the top, there's almost a foot and a half square of a plank of wood, and in front of you, 6 feet out, there's a trapeze bar, and what you have to do, it's called the leap of faith, because some individuals are too small that they can't jump out and they can't grab this bar. And of course, they're on a harness, so there is someone down below who is supporting you, who's able to catch you. And it's called the leap of faith because those who are too small, who cannot reach the bar, they have to leap out. And you have to have faith that the girl who's standing at the bottom with the harness around her waist is able to save you. Otherwise, you'd crash down to not your death, but you'd crash down and seriously injure yourself. And of course, Christopher, who's only 9, there's no way he could reach, and I didn't actually think he would jump. I thought he'd have to actually come back down the way we went back up. But he didn't. He stood there, and he leapt out, knowing full well he would not be able to reach the bar, but knowing also at the same time the girl at the bottom was able to save him, to take the weight. And it's called the leap of faith. You had to have faith in the girl at the bottom to save him. And that's true when it comes to the gospel. God is asking us to take him at his word. To believe that what he says, he will do. When he says he will give us everlasting life, he will give us everlasting life. When he says he will forgive us of our sin, he will forgive us of our sin. When he says, I will prepare a place for you in heaven, that's exactly what he means. And when we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're putting our trust, our faith, our confidence in one who cannot fail, one who will not let us down. That is the reality. Every promise he has ever made, he has kept, and he will keep. And that's why when we come to this beautiful parable of the Good Samaritan, it is a picture, if you will, of the Lord Jesus, of his love, of his compassion, of his care, and of his mercy, and of his desire to help every one of us out of the consequences of our sin. But the question is this, if the Lord Jesus were to draw alongside you tonight and to be willing to offer you the help that is in offer. Are you going to accept it like we have in the story tonight, or would you reject it? The choice is yours. This man, he simply accepted the help that was in offer. He came into the good of it, and that is what we are asking you to do tonight, is to come into the good, the knowledge of sins forgiven, all through putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. As a boy of 9, I simply asked the Lord Jesus into my life to cleanse me of my sin, to give me everlasting life. I have never regretted it. As someone who I commend to you tonight, he is able and he is willing not only to save us, but to keep us. And I would commend the Lord Jesus to you tonight as to be your Savior. If you have any questions that we have perhaps raised that you might want further explained, well, we'll be at the door. We'll be only too happy just to wait behind with you and to discuss these things further. But again, we do thank you for coming tonight, and we do trust that as we've thought of this Good Samaritan, perhaps next time you're out and about and you see someone who is being helped, or when you are being helped, that you might think again of the Lord Jesus and the one who is willing and able to help us because of our sin. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank thee tonight for the Lord Jesus. We again thank thee for the one who came and who is both able and willing to save us. We pray, Father, if there's any in our hall tonight who as of yet know not thy Son as Saviour, we just, Father, we pray that in their own simple and whatever timescale it would be, that they might just come and put their trust in thy Son and know him as Saviour. So, Father, we ask now for thy parting blessing as we thank thee again for himself in his worthy and precious name.